open session. I'm going to go to section 4, number 8, case 2408 regarding Dwight Benesch, DVM. Board may review, discuss, and take action on practice monitor report received in compliance with consent agreement.
Hello.
Good afternoon. I'm Courtney Sullivan. I'm here on behalf of Dr. Benesch.
Great, thank you. And let's see here, so don't have a lead indicated, just moving forward with this one.
I got an email from Victoria signing it to me.
Oh, great. So Ms. Solomon, this is your case. So again, we have a practice monitor report.
Yes.
What do we have?
Yes, the practice monitor report shows some good improvement, and to move things along, like to amend the consent agreement to include the report that will come to the board that's referenced in the report, practice monitor's report. Quote, the hospital will review the previous records for recent euthanasia procedures and present a separate report to the board to account for the discrepancy from possible missing entries in the controlled drug dispensing log from the missing euthanasia solution. And I'd like that submitted to the, as part of the CA amendment, submitted to the board within 60 days.
Okay. I'm happy to provide the board with an update on what happened with that log right now, but we can also provide a report as well.
Yeah, it said it would be, I'd like to review a written report, so. Sure.
Do you want the verbal report now, and then we'll get the written one?
Okay.
Thank you, Ms. Solomon. I reviewed this incident with the staff and Dr. Benesch, and it's my understanding that there was a second vial that was not discovered by the monitor during the inspection. We believe that it was in use at the time, and the staff at the clinic has been able to reconcile both of those vials, and the logs are consistent with the usage between both of those vials. So there is no logging error. The medication was dispensed in accordance with what was logged. The practice has since instituted a new software system that should be fully online within the next week that will help them ensure that this doesn't happen again and will electronically monitor the controls within the practice.
Can you clarify, because I'm not seeing where an additional bottle would make up, the log states that the bottle, that there was 40 milliliters of solution present. However, visual inspection of the bottle suggests that no more than 10 milliliters of drug was present. How would an additional bottle make up that discrepancy?
The additional bottle had the 30 milliliters missing, so that was the 40 milliliters total used.
So they logged it to the wrong vial?
Correct.
It made it clerical error. So we'll see that.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other?
No further questions.
Madam Chair, I'm not sure if Ms. Solomon introduced herself for the record.
I did.
She did. Yes, she did.
Okay.
Motion.
To do the modification.
Yeah.
To submit a request for a modification.
Submitted. Yeah.
All right, so I have a motion to make a modification to the consent agreement requesting a written report.
Requiring that report.
Motion? Second?
Second.
Motion is second. All those, do we have to do a roll call for a modification?
No.
No? Okay.
No.
Voice vote. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed?
Thank you.
Passes. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone.
All right. Do you want me to go to number 5 4A, Victoria?
Do you want to do Jennifer?
Right. Yeah. Okay. All right. So we're gonna go to section 5, number 4A. Board may review, discuss, and take action on veterinary technician application for Jennifer Rose, who I believe is present. Did you want to come forward and make a statement, or you just?
Hello.
So we've read the statement that you provided. Did you have anything?
No, I just want to emphasize that it's a huge mistake, and I have done so much to make sure that has not happened again, and it won't happen again. And you know, that's not my character to do that. And I figured alcohol was a problem, and I have not drank since. And I continue to get monitored by my doctor, which I can provide at any time. So.
Okay.
It definitely shook me up, because this has been a goal for me for so many years, and that one incident could have taken everything. So.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have any questions since the applicant's present? Okay. I appreciate the statement that you made, and at least it appears to have been a one-time, very, very serious incident. I'm glad that you took it seriously, too. But that is a lot of work to put into your professional advancement and opportunities to have it wiped away by something like that. So, you know, I guess I would hope that does stick with you the way it seems to right now. So I'd make a motion to approve the technician application submitted by Jennifer Rose.
Second.
The motion is second. Anything else? All right, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion passes. Best wishes.
Got to take the test.
Happy tears.
Yep, so you still have to, need to take the
yes.
exam. All right.
Good luck. Study up.
There's tissue right there, hopefully, so if you need it.
Okay.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work.
Thank you.
Okay, so we'll move on to back to section 3, informal interviews, number 4, case 24116, Nalin Gupta, and Mr. Stolz.
Mr. Stolz, still here.
Still here. So, okay.
Thank you.
All right, good morning. All right, good afternoon. All right. Yep. I'm gonna do all the script, and then you get to do that again. All right. This is the time and place scheduled for the informal interview of Dr. Nalin Gupta in case number 24116. This matter will be heard by the board to the authority given it at ARS 32-2234. Dr. Gupta, please introduce yourself and your attorney.
Nalin Gupta, DVM.
And David Stoll is legal counsel for Dr. Gupta.
Thank you.
Madam Chair, I don't mean to interrupt, but I believe we're supposed to call the complainant.
Oh, we had a phone call on a complaint. I'm sorry.
Thank you, Tracy.
Yes, we need to call Barbara Schlotsky. Thank you.
Thanks,
guys. Thanks. Here's Barbara. We just have one call, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I called her earlier and she was going to be available.
Okay.
Thanks.
Hello.
Hi, Barbara. It's Victoria from the Veterinary Board again.
Yeah.
The board's getting ready to start the informal interview. I've got you on speakerphone. So I'm going to turn you over to the board chair. We're just going to ask you to remain silent until the board chair addresses you, okay? But you can listen in to what's going on before that, okay?
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So Dr. Gupta, you've been given, you've received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today and the possible actions the board may take at this informal interview. As a reminder, those options include dismissal, issuing you a non-disciplinary letter of concern, censuring you, placing your license on probation with terms that may include continuing education and practice restrictions. The board may also suspend your license for up to 30 days, assess a civil penalty, or refer this matter to a formal hearing. The purpose of this informal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The The board has read all the materials you submitted. If you have any additional materials you would like to present to the board, please do so now.
We have no additional materials.
This proceeding is... Yep.
You want to submit it?
We have something?
Yes. There was a care credit dispute.
Okay.
And Dr. Gupta would like the board to know how that was resolved.
Thank you. So that is being provided to Victoria Whitmore to be passed around. Okay. This proceeding is being digitally recorded. As a result, it is important that everyone speak loudly and clearly and that only one person speaks at a time. We will begin by asking the lead board member assigned to this matter to give a brief summary of the case, and then you will be given an opportunity to respond. Following your response, the board may wish to ask you some questions. The complainant will also be given an opportunity to address the board. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during the interview, you may ask them through me. Dr. Wright, can you please give us a brief summary of the case?
Yes, thank you. On February 15th, 2024, Lucy, a six-year-old female Jack Russell Terrier, was presented to respondent due to vomiting, drooling, and lethargy. A sufficient blood sample could not be obtained due to the dog's dehydration, therefore only a CBC was performed. The dog received sub-Q fluids and radiographs were performed. No foreign body was noted. Respondent's differential diagnoses were pancreatitis, neoplasia, dietary indiscretion, splenic contraction, and other. No definitive diagnosis was made since a chemistry panel could not be conducted. Complainant was referred to an emergency facility for diagnostics and treatment. If complainant was unable to go to the emergency facility, it was recommended to bring the dog back the next day to try and get blood for testing and IV fluid therapy. The dog was administered Serenia and discharged with gabapentin. On February 16th, 2024, the dog was presented to respondent in critical condition. Again, respondent referred the dog to an emergency facility and offered humane euthanasia. Complainant wanted respondent to treat the dog while she looked into possible transfer to an emergency facility. Respondent still could not obtain a sufficient blood sample for testing. An IV catheter was placed and fluids were initiated. Later that day, complainant picked up the dog and transferred her to an emergency facility. After diagnostics were performed at the emergency facility, the dog was diagnosed with kidney failure. Complainant elected to humanely euthanize the dog. Complainant reported in her complaint that it was her idea to take the dog to an emergency facility, not respondent's. Furthermore, respondent misdiagnosed the dog with pancreatitis, not renal failure.
Thank you. Dr. Gupta, at this time, I'd like to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth? Thank you.
And if you could, please speak loudly and slowly so the court reporter could.
And so the hard of hearing board member with hearing aids can hear you.
Thank you. So Dr. Gupta, we'd like to now give you the opportunity to respond to the summary and present whatever information you believe is relevant.
I would just like to point out that Lucy was a new patient. I was not provided any medical history or records for the patient. Also, the client made a late afternoon regular appointment instead of an emergency appointment at the Spirit Mountain Animal Hospital in Bullhead City, Arizona. After my initial examination, I recommended blood work and abdominal radiograph to rule out a foreign body obstruction and fluid therapy based on physical examination and history. We obtained blood from this pet on this first day and were successful in getting a complete blood count, but were unable to obtain serum from the blood draw in order to run a blood chemistry panel because she was too dehydrated. I mentioned to the owner that the blood count indicated high hematocrit and hemoglobin values suggestive of moderate dehydration, but there could be other differentials too which are mentioned in medical record. We withdrew blood twice and spurred multiple times in order to obtain serum, but were unable to get a sufficient sample to run a chemistry panel. I explained this to the owner and the fact that we could not make a definitive diagnosis since the blood work was incomplete and the radiograph did not show any obvious findings. As a result, and as noted in the medical record, I recommended to the owner that she take Lucy to the ER. The referral recommendation was based on Lucy's symptom, need for continuous monitoring and hospitalization, diagnosis and treatment. And because there is a potential chance that Lucy may not survive the night. As set forth in the medical records, I gave subcutaneous fluid and dispensed medication to stabilize Lucy and provide her temporary relief during her ER transfer, but this was not a treatment plan since we did not have a diagnosis. I also told the owner that she would not or could not go to ER, and if Lucy is stable in the night, then she would bring Lucy back the next morning for IV fluid therapy and blood work. My hope was that we would be able to obtain serum and make a diagnosis after she was hydrated. In addition to it, I also informed owner that if they notice any vomiting or diarrhea in the night that could be fatal for Lucy, in that case they should not wait for morning and go to ER right away. Please consider the important fact that our practice is in rural area and clients either do not go to ER, or if they go, they cannot afford ER, and there is no emergency hospital in the nearby area. Lucy represented the next day, February 16th, dull, depressed, and in unresponsive condition with sunken eyes and her tongue hanging out. Client waited for 10 to 12 hours against my recommendation to go to ER. She was also severely dehydrated because of bloody diarrhea. On physical examination, her pulse was weak and she was hypothermic. Based on the physical examination and symptoms, I again strongly recommended to the owner that she take Lucy to the ER. Client declined to go to ER at that time. Then I educated client that we are open until 1 p.m. and will not be able to hospitalize and provide care for 24 hours and more, and without having intensive care, her prognosis is guarded. I also brought up the subject of human euthanasia on the basis of pets guarded to grave prognosis. The owner declined euthanasia and told me that she wanted me to start treatment, fluid therapy and lab work, and in the meanwhile she would look into possible transfer to the ER. Having obtained the owner's approval, we tried first to run blood work, but still could not obtain serum. I started fluid therapy with ILRS since Lucy was hypothermic. I started fluid therapy first so that we could then run blood work later after she became sufficiently hydrated. Initially, the owner left Lucy in our care, but returned shortly thereafter and told us that the Human Society of Mohave County Animal Medical Center in Kingman, Arizona was now able to take care of Lucy and that she would get the lab work done there and if necessary get 24-hour care. I told the owner that I agreed that this was the best decision for Lucy since owner was ready to go to the ER as I had originally recommended. I took off the blood work charges from the final invoice. On February 23rd, owner came to our hospital and was verbally aggressive and confrontational to me and my staff. Apparently, the Human Society of Mohave County Animal Medical Center was able to do diagnostic and they had diagnosed Lucy was being in kidney failure. The owner was upset that I had mentioned that Lucy might have pancreatitis, but had not mentioned kidney failure. I reminded the owner that I had given a number of differentials, but could not make a definitive diagnosis without the chemistry panel. I also advised her that the Human Society of Mohave County Animal Medical Center was only able to complete the blood work there because Lucy had received IV fluid therapy with us, and that is what resulted in kidney failure diagnosis. In response, owner threatened to file a board complaint. On June 18, 2024, client filed a dispute with Care Credit seeking a refund for the services rendered at our hospital. We submitted all relevant documentation in response to this dispute in July 2024, along with the recommendation from the investigation committee dated June 4, 2024, which concluded that complaint be dismissed with no violation. care credit resolved the dispute in our favor and no chargeback was issued. I am now available to answer any question that you may have.
Thank you. I'd now like to ask board members if they have any questions for Dr. Gupta.
Yeah, I'll start off since I'm the lead on this, and then Dr. Nazzi can take over because I have a couple questions. But thank you for being here. So the questions kind of I have on the first day is we presented to you approximately 8 to 10% dehydrated. Is that correct? So we're moderately dehydrated there, drooling, have saliva. You couldn't get blood, which I understand for dehydrated, that's hard to get blood. But to correct that dehydration, we wanted to talk about the fluid therapy itself. How do you calculate what volume deficit we have based on that dehydration percentage?
So volume deficit calculated with the percentage of the dehydration plus maintenance plus ongoing losses.
So when we do that on a 22-pound dog, just the dehydration, we're between about 800 mils to about a liter of fluid deficit.
Right.
So we gave two boluses of 150 mils sub-Q. What made you settle on that number? Because that's below the dehydration percentage right there.
Yes, she need definitely more fluid, but because like she is that little and like, you know, give the 150 ml, then wait for 1 hour and then give another 150 ml. And as I stated that client take the late afternoon appointment, by the time like we do all those things, it is almost close to close the hospital. And I do not want to have client wait for like, you know, for the fluid therapy more rather than to like send them to emergency right away. Because if it is late, nearest emergency hospital is in the Las Vegas for 24 hours. So I do not want to have them wait for more time in order to get appropriate fluid therapy. So at that time, my goal is to just stabilize her, give Serenia injection, give subcutaneous fluid and gabapentin for having safe transfer to emergency so they can go to ER for further hospitalization, fluid therapy, diagnosis and treatment.
Okay, so those are my main questions. I don't know if you have some follow-up points from there.
On day one, you had a hematocrit of 74, I believe,
yes.
On day one. Okay, and established this 8 to 10% dehydrated. Why on day one was there no IV placed?
As I mentioned earlier, it is almost like client take the late afternoon appointment. By doing the all lab work, it is almost like close to the where hospital is closed. And since nearest emergency hospital facility is far away from the Bullhead City. So I give the subcutaneous fluid rather than to like to set up the IV catheter and IV fluid therapy because I am expecting that client is taking to Lucy to ER right away. And in the ER, they will do set up like IV catheter and fluid therapy because at the time it's coming almost close to discharge and we do not have enough time left for IV catheterization and the fluid therapy. And I do not want to client, we can do it, but I do not want to client wait for that long and it's come in the late afternoon or in the evening. We are like, you know, it's become more difficult to go to the Las Vegas for emergency facility. So I would rather prefer to give the subcutaneous fluid at that time. I educate them about the moderate dehydrated condition and ask them please go to ER right away, not to home.
So you weren't giving the sub-Q fluids in an attempt to get the blood. You were trying to stabilize?
Yes, just to at that time give her some sub-Q fluid to stabilize in order to have possible transfer to ER.
And how long is that transport?
Is
in general?
It's like it goes straight, it's 90 minute drive.
So you elected to go sub-Q. I'm still not clear as to why you didn't place a catheter and bolus large amounts of fluid in a dog with a hematocrit of 74 and 10% dehydrated.
Yes, so by the time blood work done, it's like coming close to 4 and hospital about to close. So if I set up the IV catheter, I need to hold staff and I don't have any staff available to do the IV catheter and fluid therapy. plus in that case I need to wait for client for little bit longer period. So rather than to have them wait for IV catheter and fluid therapy, I ask them to go to ER after that, like right now. So in the ER they will do the IV hospitalization, IV catheter and the fluid therapy and diagnosis and further treatment and then monitoring.
So you didn't consider giving a bolus IV, rapid fluids IV, which doesn't take very long?
At that time, because of the time constraint, I opted the subcut fluid.
So you had a conversation with the owner regarding whether Lucy was going to ER or not. Did you know that she was going? Were you determined, yes, this dog is, I'm giving it some sub-Q fluids and she's on her way to the ER? Is that what you understood?
Yes, so another thing is that in that, because many times I referred client to the ER and because of the demographic location of the hospital, clients say yes, but they do not go to the ER. So this is also the one of the thing, if I set up the IV catheter, do the IV fluid, and if client do not go to the ER, that is the again liability. So I educated them that please go to the ER, but most of the time it happens with the previous experience that either they do not go to the ER, bring pet back to the next day, or if they go to the ER, they cannot afford treatment over there. So having that in the mind to be on safe side, I give the subcut fluid, and that I was not sure. I educated client that she need to go to the ER for hospitalization, diagnosis, and treatment. But I wasn't sure like at that time whether they decided to go to ER or not to go to ER. And I informed them that she is in the moderate dehydrated condition. If you do not go to ER, she might have hypovolemic shock. She could be able to make, she could not be able to make all through the night. And if she stays, if you decided not to go to the ER, and if she is stable all through the night, then please bring her back tomorrow morning. Then we can do the IV fluid therapy and the blood work and diagnosis and then treatment.
So you weren't sure whether she was going to go or not?
Yes.
And you said if you don't come back, basically she's still alive? Is that?
Sorry, I don't know.
So you said that if you don't go to the ER, please come back here if she's still
stable
alive,
all through the night, like she's no stable, vomiting and diarrhea, and yeah, stable all through the night, uh-huh, then please come back in the morning so that we can set up IV catheter, fluid therapy, okay, fluid therapy, blood work, diagnosis, and blind treatment accordingly.
Yeah,
but if she does have any vomiting or diarrhea in the night, then please go to the ER right away. Do not wait till morning, because that could be fatal for her.
On the second day then, did you recheck the hematocrit?
On the second day, it happened to be same. We collected the blood, but we couldn't be able to get sample. On the second day, yes, we didn't check the hematocrit.
You couldn't get enough for the chemistry?
Yes.
But she didn't do another?
She is severely dehydrated. It's difficult to get blood sample. So we set up IV catheter first and start fluid therapy, and so that we can get the blood in order to run blood work.
So we didn't get a recheck on the hematocrit.
Yeah.
So the second day, how much fluid did you administer IV?
I administered 90 ml per hour. On the second day, still I did not do the bolus in the beginning, dose of the fluid, because the way she represented in the obtained mentation with the muffled heart sound, I would like to see the blood work first, the serum biochemistry and serum electrolyte.
Okay.
If I need to choose the type of the fluid or if I need to do any additional medication with the fluid in order to correct serum electrolyte imbalance. So I choose safely to give the safe dose of the fluid with the IV.
Mm-hmm.
So safely hydrate her in order to get blood sample to do the blood work first, to see the serum biochemistry.
So again, how did she present on day two?
So day two, when she presented, like she is soaked in the complete bloody diarrhea and the urine.
Mm-hmm.
She is like, you know, eyes sunken, tongue is hanging out. She is not responsive to at all for any stimulus. heart sound is very, very muffled, weak pulse and throaty pulse.
So, and that's the reason you elected to go with a slower, no bolus, because of the way she presented?
Yes, I would like to see the serum electrolyte first, so that, like, if I need to choose the type of the fluid, or if I need to do in addition to it. Suppose in the case of if she might have hyperkalemia, and if I'm giving LRS, then we are overloading with the potassium. So I would like to do the same dose of IV fluid in order to run the serum biochemistry to see whether, like, LRS is right or not. We need to switch to the sodium chloride, or we need to do dextrose if she's hypoglycemic or not. So that's why I
didn't So you wanted to determine by blood work,
yes,
your fluid therapy. Is it?
I just want to see the serum electrolyte balance. I do not want to determine the fluid therapy with the blood work. I just want to see the serum electrolyte, the type of the fluid is chooses is correct.
Day two, did she have respiratory distress, or pulmonary edema,
no,
that you could hear,
no,
auscultate? So she wasn't. That's all.
Okay. Any other questions?
Yes, I have a quick one. I want to make sure I'm understanding correctly, Dr. Gupta. But if on day one, you said it was near closing time, near 5.
4.
Pardon?
4 o'clock. We close.
4 o'clock.
Yes.
Okay. Near 4. And did that influence the amount of IV fluid that you provided at that time? You said there wasn't enough time.
So on the day first we did the subcutaneous fluid, I am hoping that she is going to the ER for the further hospitalization and the fluid therapy. So I did the subcutaneous fluid on the day first. Because the reason I didn't set up the IV catheter because I wasn't sure whether they are really going to ER or not. So to be on the safe side, I give the subcutaneous fluid and ask them and educate them to go ER right away rather than to, like, you know, wait for a little bit, and I wasn't sure whether they are going to ER or not.
Thank you.
Any other questions from board members? Okay, thank you. We'll now hear from the complainant, Barbara Schlotsky. Could you please introduce yourself? You're on the phone.
I'm sorry, it's a bad connection. I'm having a problem hearing you. What did you ask me?
I was just asking you to introduce yourself.
State my name.
Yes, please. Yes.
Barbara J. Schulsky.
Thank you. At this time, I'm going to swear you in. Do you swear or affirm that the evidence you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. So you are the complainant in the case?
Yes.
Okay, and so we've read the materials that you've provided us. You may now address the board.
Okay, I would just like to state from what I heard right now, I could not hear clearly most of what the veterinarian said, except I did keep hearing ER mentioned, ER, ER. I was not told at any time to go to the ER. I was under the understanding that this office would be able to take care of Lucy. And so, it was my investigation the next day when she was progressively getting worse under his care that I investigated and found out that the Kingman Hospital could take her on an emergency basis because I explained to them what was happening. And they told me, and this was already the second day, probably around late afternoon, they told me to come up immediately. Can I come up immediately with her? And that's when I went to pick her up, and the veterinarian said to me, oh yeah, that is a good idea. It was my intention to take her at that point, because I had faith in this veterinarian for these 2 days that he would be able to do something. So I immediately went to Kingman with her. I do want to state one thing. When we brought her in the next day, she was in her little bed, which was completely covered with her bloody feces and vomit and so forth, and said to him, please get rid of this as soon as you take her out of it, and you know, and I don't want it back. When she was released to me to bring her to Kingman, I was given the same bloody, she was in that, I'm sorry, she was in that bed, not removed, not cleaned up, and that's how they handed her to me. We immediately took her up to Kingman, and when they saw the condition, they immediately cleaned her up and immediately did the blood work. And that's when I found out that she had kidney failure with a 10%, less than a 10% chance of survival, because they said there could be other complications. So I feel, had I been told professionally that they could not handle this, I could have gotten help a lot sooner.
Okay, thank you. Do any board members have questions for the complainant? No questions from the board? I do have one question, Ms. Schlotsky. My name is Nikki Frost.
Yes.
The practice that you went to, it was the Humane Society of Mojave County?
In Kingman, the Humane Society and Hospital, yes.
Okay, and how did you find out about this facility?
I started looking up the closest place I could bring her that would be a hospital-type facility where if she needs to be overnight, that would be the case, and they were the closest. That would be about 40 miles from Bullhead City.
Okay, and so how did you determine that they provided hospitalization, like 24/7 care?
I called them.
Okay, so they said that they provide hospitalization and 24-hour care?
Yes.
Okay. All right, thank you. I don't have any other questions. All right, Dr. Gupta, do you or your legal counsel have any additional remarks or questions you would like to ask?
Yes, so on the day first, I recommend for the ER. On the second day, I recommend for the ER, which you can see in the Dr. Dowling's statement from the Mojave County Animal Hospital, that owner is clearly saying that I recommend for the ER. And we cannot be able to hospitalize over here. That's why I refer her to the 24-hour facility where she can be, like, and they can hospitalize, treat, and monitor for next 24 hours. Second thing, as you know, the blood work couldn't be done, so I don't have any definitive diagnosis because this blood work is not done in our facility. She was getting fluid therapy in our facility. That's why, like, you know, Mojave County Animal Hospital get benefited to get blood for her, from her, and do the diagnosis. One more thing I want to addition in the fluid therapy question from Dr. Nozali, that on the second day, hospital time is very short. By the time I do the examination, take the pet back, just want to make sure I'm giving the fluid the safely, because I don't have the blood biochemistry done. I set up the catheter and start doing the IV fluid. But after setting up the IV fluid and, like, you know, starting doing IV fluid therapy, owner came back shortly right after it, and they say, like, they found the Kingman Animal Hospital is available to, like, take care of Lucy. So they are ready to transfer. And I let them know, like, this catheter is set up, she's on the fluid therapy. I didn't get chance to do the blood work or any other treatment, they say like, it's okay, we are ready to go, so transfer as soon as possible. So we immediately transferred, wrapped the IV catheter and transferred her to came in on animal hospital. And because of that happened, like, you know, in such a short period, I didn't get a time to do the blood work and didn't get a time to do the bolus fluid therapy on the second day.
So basically because she came back
shortly.
So how long a period of time was Lucy in your hospital on day two?
So we closed at 1 o'clock. They came like 8:30. I don't remember. They came 8:30. By the time I take her to, I initially recommend please take to the ER because we close at 1 o'clock. Mm-hmm. We don't have that much time to do the, in this serious condition, to do the intensive care and hospitalization. And if she is not getting intensive care and hospitalization, her prognosis is guarded. So they declined to go ER at that moment. And then I say, like, in that case, I would suggest for the human euthanasia, because if you are not going to ER, the prognosis is guarded, then they decline for the euthanasia, and then they start, then they say, like, you know, okay, let's go start treatment, fluid therapy, and in the meanwhile, we will look up the possible, like, transfer to the ER or the, any other hospital. So,
Just 1 second, because we have Dr. James is going to be calling in. We're going to call her. I know, we just have to stop because we have to get you added in first.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that I can get. That's what we're just pausing. Barbara, you're just going to be put on hold for a second. I'm not sure it is.
Okay. Hello.
Okay. All right.
Hey, right there.
We have Dr. James on the phone.
Yep.
Okay, great. And then Barbara, you're still there?
Yes.
Okay. Go ahead. I'm sorry that I interrupted.
That's fine.
Your answer to the question.
Yeah. So.
So I don't,
what time?
Yeah, I don't remember the. I don't remember exactly the exact time frame, but like by the time take in the bag, try to draw the blood, then set up IV catheter, set up on fluid therapy. Like I don't remember exact time, but she owner came back shortly and right after that, and they say like, you know, we are ready to transfer to Lucy to ER.
So approximately when did you first see her on day two?
Sorry?
On day two, when did you first?
I see on the 8:30 a.m.
8:30 was when you first had contact with Lucy.
Yes. So they came in the room, so I saw Lucy at 8:30.
And then when did you get permission to place the IV?
So after having all those conversation, I pull up the treatment plan, like IV fluid therapy, IV catheter, fluid therapy. Mm-hmm. So after their approval, we start IV catheter and then fluid therapy.
About what time was that?
Like 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock.
Yes.
Is when the catheter. And then when did she pick him up?
I don't see that time, but like shortly they come back after that. Like, you know, it's a very short day, so I don't remember exactly time frame.
No.
After set up on the fluid therapy, they come back and they say like we are ready to go ER. So
it's kind of critical to know how long you had Lucy and were providing treatment for her on day two. That's all I'm asking. Was it a half hour, an hour, 2 hours?
I would say between 1 to 2 hour, 1 hour max, like.
Okay, that was my question.
Any other questions, Dr. Nosley?
No.
Any questions from other board members? Okay. All right, do you have anything to add?
Just briefly. If you look at the medical record on day one, February 15th, it says in the medical record, please go to emergency hospital for hospitalization. Then when Lucy returned the next day, recommended for ER as we're only open until 1 o'clock p.m. That's in the medical record. Then if you look at the statement from the subsequent treating vet, Dr. Dowling, he states in his statement the following. The owner stated that they were informed that hospitalization at her regular DVM was not possible, and he referred her for hospitalization elsewhere. So there's no doubt, looking at the medical record and the statement of both doctors, that repeated recommendations and referrals were made to the ER. Before you finish, I just want to make sure that none of you have any questions regarding Dr. Gupta's testimony because of the language and accent. Just want to make sure that this testimony was clearly understood by everyone. Just by way of history, on June 4th, this case was thoroughly presented to the investigative committee, and in unanimously voting 4-0 to dismiss the complaint with no violation, the committee stated the following in their report to you. The committee discussed that respondent Dr. Gupta dealt with what he had in front of him. The pet was dehydrated and could have been transferred elsewhere. Respondent did not want to guess as to what was happening with the dog. Respondent had limitations. There was no one to stay with the pet for hospitalization. Then the committee went on and made the following conclusion. The committee was confident that respondent referred the dog to an emergency facility and managed the case to the best of his ability. As you heard, Lucy was presented first on February 15th as a new patient. Dr. Gupta had no prior medical records or history for this dog. Also, the owner didn't schedule an emergency appointment. This was a regular appointment late in the afternoon. After his initial exam, Dr. Gupta recommended blood work, and as you've heard, a sufficient blood serum sample could not be obtained due to the dog's dehydration. Therefore, only a CBC was performed. Again, Dr. Gupta did the best that he could given the dog's condition. Dr. Gupta then gave the dog sub-Q fluids and dispensed medications for stabilization. And given the dog's condition and the time of day, he referred the dog to an emergency facility. If the dog had taken, or if the owner had taken the dog, followed Dr. Gupta's advice and taken the dog to the emergency facility at that time, we wouldn't be here today. Please keep in mind that Dr. Gupta practices in Bullhead City, and because of the geographic location and demographics, his clients often are reluctant or resistant to take their pets to emergency facilities. As a result, Dr. Gupta told the owner that if she didn't take his advice and didn't go straight to the emergency facility, she should bring the dog back the next day, but only if the dog was in stable condition. Unfortunately, she didn't take the dog to the emergency facility and returned the dog the next day in an even more critical condition. That was on February 16th, where Dr. Gupta, again, immediately on presentation, referred the owner to the emergency facility. Also, in response to the dog's condition, he brought up humane euthanasia based upon the grave prognosis if Lucy did not get immediate intensive care. In any event, the emergency referral recommendation was the best course of action for this dog, but the owner declined and asked Dr. Gupta to continue to treat Lucy during the day while she considered and made arrangements for a possible transfer to an emergency facility. Once again, Dr. Gupta could not obtain a sufficient blood serum sample to perform blood work and get a definitive diagnosis. He couldn't do anything more beyond stabilizing the dog for transportation, which is what occurred finally. We believe the evidence presented here today supports the conclusion reached by the investigative committee that Dr. Gupta managed this case to the best of his ability, and therefore this complaint should be dismissed. Thank you.
Just want to tell you one more thing. So Lucy on the first day was ambulatory, is what not in the obtained medication or anything else. So she was ambulatory, she was drooling saliva, she is in the dehydrated condition, but she is very responsive and she was ambulatory. So that is also the I didn't realize, like, you know, that we need to do IV catheter right away considering her physical symptoms. Obviously in the hemoglobin it is 74%, but we did subdued fluids and adjuvated on her to go to the ER right away.
Thank you.
Okay. All right. This concludes the portion of the informal interview in which the board hears testimony. The board will now deliberate and decide what to do in this matter. Dr. Wright, Dr.
Holmes? So, yeah, I mean, we're going through and we're reading this, and the question is, sort of, where do we see problems, where do we see issues, or anything there? When it comes to the diagnostic list, I don't really see a big issue with that. I mean, yeah, we miss renal failure, but there's a lot of other things on there, and without that blood work, we don't know for sure. Now, like I said, is not having renal failure on there a violation of the statute? I don't think so, because it's a working list, and we don't have the full diagnostic test. So the fact that we thought maybe it could be pancreatitis, I think that's just a working theory as opposed to a full diagnosis. Sure. So I'm not too worried about that portion of it. Looking at the treatment section itself, we had a drooling dog that we gave Serenia. Okay, good. I mean, we're helping with nausea, so everything's good there. So really the questions come around the fluid therapy. And that's where we had some discussion last month. And we got to kind of come to a meeting of the minds on that as to where is that an issue. It gets really difficult in these cases because if we're looking at like a shock volume of fluids, we can administer that pretty darn quick. We want to administer that pretty quick. But when we're looking at dehydration, it's a longer thing to correct. If we correct it too fast and pump them full of fluid too fast, we have the potential of shifting fluid into the brain and causing issues there because of the sodium that concentrates in there and dehydration. So you have to do it pretty judiciously and pretty slowly, typically over a 24-hour period, which we just didn't have the ability to do here. So in that first day, we gave 150 mils of sub-Q fluids and another 150 mils, totaling 300 mils completely. When we look at a 8 to 10% dehydration, we're between 800 mils to 1,000 mils. But again, we can't give that all as one big bolus. So where do we go? What do we do? So it's kind of putting us between a rock and a hard place. I mean, I guess we could teach how to do sub-Q fluids and do it at home. A lot of us will do that, but I'm kind of hard in a difficult place to say there's a true violation just because of we do have to take time to replace those fluids. So I would like the discussion around that and thoughts for sure.
Sure. Yeah, I agree. It revolves around the fluid therapy. The ER, no ER, it's in the record that he recommended it.
That's what we have.
No, that's not true.
So that is really a he said, she said, so we follow on the record, and the record says repeatedly that he recommended it, and I truly think he would, faced with a critical patient. But the fluid...
Can I say something again?
No. Sorry, Ms. Schlesky, the time for your testimony is over. Thank you. You can listen.
But I agree with you, the fluid therapy, especially on day two. When you're faced with a patient in critical condition, you have to go priority. Mm-hmm. And yes, I could make a mistake and give lactated ringers and it's got potassium in it. That could be a mistake. But that doesn't matter if your dog's dead.
Yeah.
So you have to prioritize and say, I have to establish this patient, stabilize this patient to the best of my ability with what I presented with. And on day two, this dog was almost laterally recumbent. So I don't think at that point in time, it's fluids and fast. And yes, you may cause pulmonary edema or cerebral edema. But unless you get fluids into a dog, keep in mind the day before we had a hematocrit of 74 and all this dog's had is 300 sub-Q. What if the diagnosis had been HGE and we did have bloody diarrhea and this animal had not received any IV therapy for this period of time? So he had the dog for 2 to 3 hours the second day. I'm really concerned about the lack of adequate fluid therapy administered at that time.
And that's a good question, but we're also at 90 mils per hour, which if we do a 2 times maintenance dose, we're around for a 10 kilogram dog around 50 mils. So I mean, we're almost double that, so we're almost at a 4 times maintenance level that way, which is compensating for the losses at a slow rate, which is what we're supposed to do.
Right.
I mean, you can't really push faster than that. Again, because if we had a hypovolemia issue, that's a different story. We can shock volume that pretty darn quick. Within 30 minutes, you can give 90 mils per kilogram. but for a dehydration fluid replacement, you've got to be a lot more slow and judicious. And I don't think it's wrong to do that at 90 mils an hour.
But the presentation was not dehydration on day two. It was shock.
But you're working differentials, and your diagnosis was dehydration, and then...
On day one, I agree, it was dehydration. On day two, we're decompensating. We're shock.
Now we're
going to have a chance at all.
Can we also, though, be impressed that we got 90 catheter in level of dehydration, like with having a 74, who knows what percentage hematocrit was?
In the second day, too. Yeah, I would like to have seen that hematocrit on day two, too.
Yeah, I mean, and like I said, we could push fluids faster. There's always concerns, but I mean, is it wrong here? Is it rising to the level of violation?
I don't think it's wrong if we were treating dehydration.
You do have a hematocrit in the subsequent treatings, the records of the subsequent treating bed, and those were what?
64 or something.
It was 68 at the...
That was 64. But yeah, it was 61 was a high number. Okay, I think it was just above
that. I remember that.
So it boils down to we're
agreeing here.
Yeah.
Day one, we're treating a dehydrated dog. Yeah. Day two, we're treating a decompensating shocky on his way out, if we want to use layman's terms.
Yeah.
So I have problems with having him in his clinic for 3 hours under that circumstance and not using shock doses. That's the ER thing,
I hear what you're saying about the fluids. I think I'm leaning more towards Dr. Wright as far as, like, I'm not sure I can find that this falls to a level of violation. However, I'd like to back up a little bit because I do understand that it's in the medical record that it was recommended to go to the emergency on day one. And I believe that that did happen. But I also heard multiple times that it was told to the owner, if the dog vomits and has diarrhea overnight, then go to the ER. When in actuality, that the push should have been go to the ER regardless. Like, the fact that we even said, oh, if you choose not to go to the ER,
right,
and the dog has more vomiting and diarrhea, then you need to go to the ER. What that says to an owner is, okay, I can watch this, and if it gets worse, go to the ER. And that is not what I think should have happened even on that day. Like, that should have been very clear to the owner that this dog is critical and needs IV fluids and needs to go to an ER. Then it's up to them. If they decline, that's up to them. But I'm not sure I'm hearing that. I'm hearing, okay, if it gets worse, go to the ER.
Okay. So, do we have a motion?
I was leaning more towards a letter of concern, but I don't know what your thoughts are.
All right.
See.
Well, since the issue is what we were treating for on day two, you just have to make your motion, see where it goes.
So I'll make a motion to dismiss the case and offer a letter of concern for power on fluid therapy. I don't want to say it. For ensuring that proper fluid therapy is administered to a case. But I can't see a violation here, but that's my motion now. We'll see what happens.
So we have a motion. Do I have a second? No second?
Does Dr. Jane?
Dr. Jane's...
No, I agree with Dr. Jane's concern.
I don't want to second that because I feel like that's ignoring the fact that this was not... I don't feel this was clearly communicated to the owner how critical the dog was on day one.
Okay, so...
And I feel like if we want to do a letter of concern for adding in communication in addition to the fluid therapy, maybe I could go for that, but ignoring that altogether, I can't really second that.
I mean, I'd be fine adding on the communication thing. I don't think that's a wrong thing in the letter of concern, but I don't know if that's still going to pass anything.
So what would the motion be?
So I'll amend it to say that we have a letter of concern for the to ensure that we're administering fluids properly in the future and for communications issues to really make sure that a client knows ER is about the only option.
The urgency, mm-hmm. conveying the urgency of going to the ER, that was lacking.
So dismiss with no violation, but issue a letter of concern regarding communication for the critical nature of the patient and the...
And ensuring that you're adequately doing administering fluid therapy in the future. Okay. I don't see a major issue with this based on okay. time frame personally.
All right, so we have a motion. Do we have a second?
Not a second.
I'm sorry?
I think that was a second.
This is Robin, I'll second that.
Okay, all right, so we have a motion and a second. Do we need to roll call this one?
It might be a good idea.
Yeah, okay, discussion.
I'll be happy to do that. Ms. Frost?
Aye.
Dr. James?
Aye.
Dr. Nosley?
Nay.
I'm a nay, and Dr. Thompson? He's not here, Dr. Wright?
Aye.
Okay. All right. So 3-2. So motion passes.
Yeah.
So this will conclude. The board has voted to dismiss with no violation. Issue a letter of concern. You'll receive a written confirmation of the board's action shortly. If you have any questions, please contact the board's executive director, Victoria Whitmore, at the board office. And this concludes the informal interview.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Unfortunately,
I'm going to
need to.
Oh, okay. All right. We'll do a quick bathroom break.
Oh. Barbara, are you still there? Is this you, Dr. James?
Hopefully, it's Dr. James.
Dr. James?
I think it was after calling back. I don't know. Once it's merged, I don't know if you can remove the individuals unless they have.
So now we have.
But seriously,
Dr. James?
Yeah.
There you are. Okay.
Oh, you can disconnect.
Yeah.
I always thought Tracy
was making sure. Looks like you're the only one that's on there.